And welcome to a new edition of Mercenary Musings Radio, a bi-weekly audio program featuring mining analyst and commodities expert, the mercenary geologist, Mickey Fulp. We are your most trusted source for in-depth analysis and commentary on commodities, mining, and the junior resource sector. And joining us on the line from Albuquerque, New Mexico, the mercenary geologist himself, Mickey Fulp. Mickey, how you doing?
I'm well, Rob.
Okay, the calendar winding down on 2016, Mickey. We're focusing on the energy market, the year that was, what to expect for 2017. So we're going to be looking at oil, gas, coal, uranium. Let's begin with crude oil, WTI. Going back to the second week of February, Mickey, we had oil at around $26 a barrel. Today, at just over $51 a barrel. So this has been a remarkable recovery that we've seen in the oil market this year.
Well, as with most markets, the oil market went way too far to the downside. And as you have said, from mid-January to mid-February, it was down below $30, and it did get into the low $26 range. Rob, that's a 13-year low. Mm-hmm. But since about early April, it got above $40, and it's been range-bound between $40 and $50 since. And finally, it broke above $50 3 weeks ago, touched $53 briefly this week. That's a 17-month high. And a lot of this has to do with OPEC finally blinked, the Saudis finally blinked, and there has been an agreement with OPEC and non-OPEC exporters in Russia for production cuts of about, say, 2 billion barrels a day. And I'll tell you, Rob, this is really good news for U.S. shale oil because, you know, with world demand growing about 1% a year, U.S. drilling rigs at a 10.5-month high with 27 more rigs drilling last week. The losers in all this 2-year debacle of sub-economic oil prices for many of the world's producers. The Saudis and the Russians are the losers, and the real winner here is U.S. shale oil producers and drillers and explorers. And it just goes to show you, Rob, that capitalism rules.
Yeah, and I just want to make sure that listeners heard that number correctly. That was 2 million barrels a day. Mickey, it kind of came out when you said it.
Did I say 2 billion?
Yeah, kind of half and half, but we're going to clarify.
Sorry about
that. That's okay.
2 million
barrels a day. We just want to make sure people heard that figure correct. And I guess what gives this agreement more credence than previous moves by OPEC to try to cut back on production is that Saudi Arabia wants a higher price for oil. And if Saudi Arabia wants something in the oil market, chances are they're going to do everything possible to get it because they need that money, don't they?
Well, they certainly do. You know, their balance of payments requires to meet all their obligations with their propped up monarchy of a government. Mm-hmm. They need about $85 oil just to break even.
Mm-hmm. Natural gas, Mickey, similar trade, about $1.60 early March, today around almost $3.50. Is it the same kind of forces driving the recovery in natural gas as we saw in oil?
Well, I think it's a little different for gas. From mid-February to the end of May, as you said, it was less than $2. And from a mid-June until just recently, until maybe the 1st of December, it was in the high $2 to low $3 range. And only in the last couple of weeks has it surged up to $3.50. A lot of that has to do with seasonal demand, cold weather predictions in your part of the world and to the south in the U.S. And it's also driven by greater demand for electrical generation. What we've seen in natural gas over, say, the last few years is production has gone up 10 years in a row until this year. Even last year, with gas prices lost 50% from 2014, we still had record high of 74 billion cubic feet per day in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
That's now dropped to about 72. And, you know, Rob, this all has to do, it's interesting how oil and gas have kind of moved separately at times and then in March step at other times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, started the shale gas revolution with a Barnett play outside of Fort Worth, Texas in 2006 with new methodologies or improved methodologies of horizontal drilling and fracking.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And as we got into a gas glut by about 2010 and also very high oil prices, that evolved into a shale oil play.
Mm-hmm.
So really what's going on now is gas is increasingly being replacing coal in the U.S. for electrical generation. So as gas wins, coal and uranium have been losing, at least under the Obama administration.
Right. And you had mentioned the rig count earlier, Mickey. Certainly shale, a big story in that. I'm seeing from Baker Hughes, the latest report, shale drillers have added almost 200 rigs this year. So certainly that's a big story about this. And I guess overall for the natural gas oil industry, Mickey, is there a feeling now that the bleeding has now stopped? Because this industry has been in the dumper now for, what, two and a half years? Now seeing signs of capital expenditures rising, so a bit of a nice, evidence of a turnaround here.
Well, I think it is an evidence of a turnaround, but Rob, it's going to require prices to remain steady. As the oil prices dropped, it really is driven by oil more than ever by gas.
Mm-hmm.
But when oil prices dropped, what happened was the shale oil producers in the U.S. Got more efficient. So probably they need a $40 barrel price all in for everybody to succeed.
Mm-hmm.
But when you get up to that $60 range, then it's really game on. So I think what's going to happen is you're going to see cutbacks everywhere except in the U.S., and the U.S. is going to continue to produce, and it may negate significantly. I think, if prices remain where they are right now, let's say $50 and above, mm-hmm. you're going to see 500,000 more barrels of oil produced in the U.S. by the end of, say, the end of the year. And if you look at it during this whole debacle, starting in November of 2014, the U.S. lost about 1 million barrels of production per day. And right now, they made up 300,000 barrels per day. So mm-hmm. we don't have that much farther to go to get up where we were before.
Okay. You had mentioned coal, so let's turn to that business, Mickey. A lot of commentary on coal, given the platforms adopted by the candidates in the U.S. presidential election. Where do you see coal demand right now? I'm seeing some reports that coal demand is not going to show a lot of overall, in terms of a global increase, not a lot of movement to the upside.
Well, I'm not really sure about that. Let's look at prices first and then try to use those to figure out where the coal industry is going. There's real dichotomy between the U.S. and the rest of the world, and that mainly is Asia, and that mainly is China.
Mm-hmm.
But U.S. thermal coal prices right now are averaging somewhere $40 a ton, maybe $45 a ton, and that's a nine-year low. A lot of this has to do with the Obama administration regs, basically designed to kill the coal industry, and especially the coal industry in Appalachia. Meanwhile, Aussie coal, which is totally driven by Chinese demand,
mm-hmm.
in late October, thermal coal hit $100 a ton. That's up 100% in 2016.
Mm.
And Chinese imports of thermal coal are up 15% year over year. If you look at, now, realize there are two markets for coal. There's thermal coal, which mm-hmm. is used for heating or electricity, also called steam coal, and then there's coking coal, or also called metallurgical coal, and that's what's used in steel smelting,
right.
or iron ore smelting to make steel.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at the coking coal market right now, it hit a high of $270 just this week, $270 a ton. Now, that price was has more than doubled this year, something on the order of three times the price. And that's really because of Chinese steel industry demand. So with regards to U.S. domestic coal, Trump has strongly come out and said he's going to support coal mining in the U.S. A lot of it has to do right now with low natural gas prices, even at $3.50. It's still very cheap to convert a coal-fired plant to a gas-fired plant.
Mm-hmm.
So where the coal industry goes is a bit up in the air, but certainly the Trump effect is good for coal miners and coal producers and coal burners in the U.S.
Okay, and what are we seeing in the nuclear industry, Mickey, when we're talking about uranium? We've discussed uranium a number of times in the past. What is the latest movement right now in terms of prices, and what's your assessment of that business?
Well, it was an extremely bad year for the uranium market. I don't know how you could get much worse. From year over year, from December of 2015 to now, the spot price of uranium dropped from $36 to less than $18. That's greater than a 50% loss. Basically, there is no short-term demand, and because of that and cheap prices, utilities worldwide are not contracting for future supplies as per usual. So there's some idea afoot that at some point they're not carrying enough inventory out and they'll have to go back in the market during a rising market. And they commonly wait till the last minute to do this sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But there's three or four things affecting the uranium market. The Japanese nuclear power plants are not starting up the way that analysts thought they would.
Right.
Because of Obama administration regulations and his, what I would say, lip service to the industry, but then he does not do anything that helps the industry. U.S. older nuclear plants are shutting down because they're not economic, because gas-fired electricity is increasingly supplying electricity to the U.S. So remains that before we get there, we've had a recent rally to the $20 range, and I think a lot of that has to do with Trump. His team went to the DOE and basically asked, how can we enhance the viability of the U.S. nuclear industry? He is very pro-nuclear.
Mm-hmm.
And from that point of view, it looks better for uranium. You know, it's the world's only option for base electrical power. It's clean and it's green. But at this price, there's no mines economical in the world. And the complicating factor with uranium is you've got this secondary supplies, which are very opaque.
Okay. We always like to wrap these up, Mickey, with a bit of an investing angle, an opinion from you. When you look at oil, gas, coal, uranium, I'm going to assume that you're ruling out coal as an investment play right now. What do you think of the energy sector in terms of oil and gas stocks?
Well, I think this is probably a good time to get in. We certainly think that with a Trump administration that it's going to be good for the conventional energy sector. Uranium companies have kind of front-run the uranium price, and they're up significantly over the last 3 weeks, U.S. domestic uranium companies, and even a company like Cameco in Canada, an integrated nuclear company. So from that point of view, I would probably be buying some still distressed uranium companies at a discount to what we think will happen when there's an improved uranium price. And I think everybody thinks it's going to happen. The problem is because it's so opaque, no one knows when it will happen.
Right. And I came across an interesting fact in terms of if people are studying energy stocks, oil plays. We've seen a lot of the share prices come back this year, Mickey, but earnings, of course, have not yet have matched the move higher. We have the Bloomberg, according to Bloomberg, the S&P 500 Energy Index trading at 137 times earnings, which is eye-popping.
Wow.
But you got to, one would anticipate that those earnings are going to catch up with the company, so we'll see that ratio come down.
Well, certainly I think that's going to happen. And what this two-year downturn and ongoing, because still oil's half of what it was when this all started in the fall of 2014, if you're a contrarian, what you realize is that the U.S. shale oil industry, and Canada too, got way ahead of itself. You know, with $100 oil, you could get all sorts of credit. There were a lot of bad companies, and what it did is capitalism works. Most of those bad companies went bankrupt. They couldn't service their debt, and they got taken out, or their assets got taken out by stronger companies. So the people that are companies that are left are lean and mean, and probably well set up for the next rise in energy prices.
Okay, well, let's wrap it up there, Mickey. It's been a great year chatting with you. The curtain coming down on 2016. Any plans for the holidays?
I'm just going to hang out on the farm here and socialize with friends and have kind of a laid-back Christmas. And it's always a good time for me to sit down and write down some thoughts, too, when other parts of the markets aren't so busy.
Okay, well, great
and
stuff.
You, Rob?
Family, you know, another jam-packed Graham household, Mickey. 20, 30, 35 people over for Christmas Day. Never a dull moment here, that's for sure, this time of year. Great stuff. Let's wrap it up, Mickey. We'll reconnect in 2017.
Okay, thanks a lot, Rob.
That's Mickey Fulp, the Mercenary Geologist. You can find him on the web at mercenarygeologist.com. And you can always hear Mickey's latest opinion exclusively on mercenarygeologist.fm and kitco.com. I'm Robert Graham at Mercenary Musings Radio. Thanks for listening.